If you would turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 8 says, "But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves." This afternoon, for a few moments here, as the Lord leads, we want to look at what is found in verse 11, for the most part, is, "Wherefore, comfort yourselves together." Yeah. It's Thessalonians here. This is a letter written to the church, so it's an exhortation to members. And so in these verses, we find a responsibility. As members, there are things that we are to do. And one of those is to comfort yourselves together. And as fellow laborers, and not just, we're to do it within our own memberships of the churches that we are members of, but we do it also with our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ and fellow churches that we fellowship with. And so that comforts, that comes from the Greek word paraklesis, or meaning a calling to one side is what that Greek word means, to come alongside and help. And so, you know, it's fitting that it means a calling to one side. When God saves us, that's what we are called to do. We are called to serve. Yeah. So he called us into his fold. He makes us a family. We read earlier in the passage this morning that we're made heirs, joint heirs. And the Lord places in his church. We believe that the Lord calls, the Lord leads in salvation. We believe the Lord also places in the church who he sees fit to be in the church. And his will is for us to also comfort one another. And we see in, well, the way he starts 1 Thessalonians out, this letter Paul writes in chapter 1, verse 1, "Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus, unto the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father, and in the Lord Jesus Christ, grace be unto you, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ." Yeah. "Unto the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father." Praise God that we have been called to his service, but also set in one of his sound, true New Testament Baptist churches. Yeah. That's a blessing. And every sound New Testament church is an independent body. And he places those people. And I thought about this, and Lisa and I have talked about this on different occasions of, you know, there's the Lord's churches all across this land, but all across this world. And yet, he has set us not just in one, but he's also set us in kind of, you think of that we get to know each other through the fellowshipping of our churches. But there's so many other churches and God's people that we've never had an opportunity to meet or be with. But I believe that he works in that way, where he sets his people where he wants, just in membership, but also in fellowshipping churches in surrounding areas. And he places as he sees fit. And part of that is, Paul writes in there of, to fellow laborers and to pastors and to esteem very highly in love our fellow laborers. And part of that labor and part of that peace and part is the comforts. And we have the God of all comforts, the God of all care. And you know, we're not going to go into too many scriptures today on looking at his care and comfort for us. But we're familiar with them. We've all read and studied them. And honestly, we couldn't even list them all. And we couldn't even fully understand how deep his love and care for us really is. But today, for a little bit, I'd like to just look at that comfort yourselves together. Because it is a blessing that we have each other to comfort. To be able to fellowship and be with fellow laborers and fellow brothers and sisters in the Lord. And part of that is being a comfort one to another. And really, it's a responsibility for ours, but the care that God has shown us, the comfort that God gives us, it goes hand in hand with the care that we give one to another, because that is our example. That is how we know. Look in Romans chapter 15 and verse 4. So how do we know how to comfort? Romans 15 and verse 4, "For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus, that ye may be with one mind and one mouth, glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wherefore receive ye one another, as Christ also received us to the glory of God." Yeah. Written aforetime, it says. Written for our learning. The comfort of the Scriptures, the patience and comfort. You know, it takes both. And our ultimate example is God. He is the God of patience and comfort and consolation. You know, we're those that we have the opportunity to fellowship with and those that we have an opportunity to be with, not all are at the same place spiritually. Some are more mature in the faith than others. Some have recently been saved. Some have been saved a lot longer than others. And so growth takes patience and comfort in the Word of God. It takes a learning. But it's to not just for our own learning, but also that we may take that learning and help comfort one another. God will unify his people for the purpose of glorifying him, it says. That's the great thing. It takes that unity. It takes that like-mindedness. And that's our common bond one to another, is the common bond of salvation. And according to Christ, as he has set us. So we're not following our own whims and wants. You know, it would be hard, maybe nigh unto impossible, to be unified if everybody's just trying to follow their own whims and wants. We're unified in Christ. We're unified in his word. It's his will. It's his way. You know, none of us came up with these words. God gave it to us. And that's how we comfort one another, is through his word. It says, "Receive ye one another." Psalms 33, verse 15, I wrote it down. He says, he fashioneth their hearts alike. He calls, he places. We must be aligned in him to comfort ourselves together. It's hard to comfort if we're not aligned in his word. You know, we all have differing backgrounds. We all have differing thoughts and ways about us. But the scriptures show there were Jews and Gentiles alike. Both are called and saved of God for the same purpose, though. That's the great thing. God calls who he wills to perform his will. And the common bond of the believer is that comfort that we have. Look at 1 Peter chapter 2. In verse 17, honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. You know, there's no question marks there. These are statements. These are commands, basically. And it says, honor all men, respect, treat all, you know, with a level of, you know, goodwill towards each other. But it says, love the brotherhood, love the fellowship, the fellow laborers, love our fellow Christians, love our church. Yeah. We will comfort one another by our love one for another. And these are, you know, and this is nothing new, I'm sure. It's just a blessedness to be put in remembrance, and that's what God's word is, and it tells us, you know, to be put in remembrance of his word. So it's not that these are any new thoughts or ideas to any of us, but it's just a blessedness to be able to, you know, put ourselves in remembrance of that and think that no matter what we're going through, we have one another as fellow Christians, as fellow laborers. You know, I mean, I appreciate getting to know you all more over the last few months to years. We've been able to fellowship more and come here and see you at other different conferences and stuff, and so we've been able to create that fellowship one with another, where, you know, I know that if I called any one of you and had a need, you know, you'd help me out. And you all me, you know, if you called me and Nisa, you know, that's a great thing God has done. Again, for the common bond, the common task to be like-minded and for his purpose. You know, John 13:34 says that ye love one another as I have loved you. You know, think how greatly the Lord loved us. That's a tall order to try to love as great as God loves. And I'm not saying we're capable of what God does, but that's how serious he put it out there. Is he left that example. We're to love one another as much as he loved us. That is patience and compassion and consolation and comfort, and on and on and on. Look at 1 Thessalonians 4. In verse 15, for this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. He gives us the words to use. This passage here shows the greatest comfort of all. Of course, what's already been mentioned and sung about and brought up today is looking forward to that time of His return, where we will be together with all saints to the sole purpose of honor and glorifying God. And so it gives us eternal hope, the sure return of Him, the victory through Him. Take this, it says. It says, wherefore comfort one another with these words. Take this, use this. It's not our words. We didn't have to come up with the words to try to find to comfort. I mean, we couldn't come up with anything near as comforting as that. He said, here it is. Use it as a comfort. And that's what's so great as well about our common fellowship one with another. We don't always maybe know what to say to comfort. We won't always know what to say. Sometimes we can't even maybe fully relate to a situation that a fellow brother and sister's going through. You know, I mean, I'm sure you all have been through things I've never been through, and I've been through things that you've never been through, and that's the way it works. But the commonality, the comfort is, we don't have to know the exact words to try to make somebody feel better. It's already given us. We can just say, brother, I'm praying for you. Sister, I'm praying for you. You know, that's, remember the promises of God to His people. Remember how we're comforted by God's mercy and grace, you know. It gets us through those most difficult times. And we can encourage and support and comfort one another with those words. And it's all of Him. But we have a responsibility to use His words to edify, to lift up, to raise, to strengthen. You know, as we said, this is our family. We have been made heirs together. We are all that are saved children of God. We have a responsibility one to another. It says, comfort yourselves together. Part of that aspect of together is also what we are all doing right now, and that is being together in His house. Coming together. You know, the Bible says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. You know, I won't get too political or anything up here, but one of the things we saw over the last few years, and I've even had, one person in particularly tell me, but I've had others, but we've talked about it a little bit more with this one, of him and his family have gotten to where they just like the online services offered. They don't ever actually go to their church anymore that they're members of. They're like, he said, my wife's kind of more of a introvert, you know, so she's not real comfortable all the time. And they said COVID brought about, online. And so we just, even though everybody's been meeting again for years now, a couple years, he's just like, we just kind of just stay in the comfort of our house and just listen online. And I'm not bashing the fact that we can live stream a service or anything like that. I mean, that it also brings about something that can be used for good with, maybe a shut-in or someone at a care center, or what if we're just sick or what, So I'm not saying that nobody should ever do it, but when they take it to that point of not gathering together with the church anymore, you've lost that comfort of being together. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 14. In verse 1, follow after charity and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that ye may prophesy. For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understandeth him, howbeit in the Spirit he speaketh mysteries. But he that prophesieth speaketh unto men to edification, and to exhortation, and comfort. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself, but he that prophesieth edifieth the church. He that preaches, he that brings edification, exhortation, and comfort of being together. You know, the preaching and teaching of his truth and his word in his house, it lifts up, it exhorts, it's his will, but it also comforts us, it also consoles us, it also, you know, that we can gather together in his word, gather together in the hearing of God's word. It's a comfort to us. Now, of course, this passage also goes and brings up that there is a proper order, and there's a comfort to that proper order as well. Because it's shown that the proclamation of God's word to his people is for the purpose that was told here, and that is the exhortation and edification and the comfort. And that cannot be done with confusion. So when he's talking about speaking in the unknown tongue, he says if there is not one that can translate, you know, let it not be done. It says in verse 5, I would that ye all spake with tongues, but rather that ye prophesied. For greater is he that prophesieth than he that speaketh with tongues, except he interpret, that the church may receive the edifying. So greater is the prophesying than that of tongues, unless there is that one to interpret. The purpose is for the church to receive the edifying, the comfort, the exhortations. Verse 6, it says, now, brethren, if I come unto you speaking with tongues, what shall I profit you, except I shall speak to you either by revelation or by knowledge or by prophesying or by doctrine? What shall it profit? You know, I've never been and witnessed somebody in person trying to speak in so-called tongues, but I'm sure we've all probably seen a video or have heard of it. Or you know, we work back home with quite a few that go to the Holiness Church, and you know, some of them have told me before. You know, when he'll say, "Man, you know, he gets a hold of us, and we just, man, we got all these people speaking in tongues and just going forward, and just," but that's got to be just pure chaos. And if it is only to edify self, then it's not the proper order. It's not the proper worship. And that's what a lot of modern day tongues is, from what I can tell or see. It's just an edification of self. It's just an emotional based. It brings no profit. It brings no comfort to the church. Because he says in verse 27, if any man speak in an unknown tongue, let it be by two, or at the most by three, and that by course, and let one interpret. So the qualifications of order there, that one, let it be by two or three at most, and it says by course, or basically in order, and let there be one that would interpret it. So the modern day of, you know, people running up and down the aisles and, you know, shouting and that words that mean absolutely nothing to anybody and nobody knows what they're saying, it is purely against the order that God has set for his churches. What shall it profit? He says, but if there be no interpreter, verse 28, let him keep silence in the church, and let him speak to himself and to God. Let the prophets speak two or three, and let the other judge. So if there is no interpreter, you know, that's the important thing. It's
You know, it's what we've seen, and I'm sure, you know, you all have seen it too. And it's a wonderful thing when you go to Faith in Clarksville, and Brother Cantu's there, and he may be off one-on-one kind of interpreting to those that don't know English. Well, that's being done in a proper order, and it's been, you know, that's not just babblings. It's, you know, the preacher's preaching forth, and he is interpreting that to the one that is there that does not know the language. Verse 33, for God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints. There's comfort. God is the author of truth and comfort, not confusion. Those that make the show, those that, you know, claim the Holy Spirit got a hold of them and claim that they were babbling profusely by the leadership of the Holy Spirit, well, there's no other way to put it. They're lying to themselves and those around them. God says he will not operate in confusion. There is a comfort to proper order of service. Let us comfort one another. There's, and again, you can't do that sitting at home and not going into the Lord's house with God's people. God is, the Holy Spirit is part of the Godhead, as we brought up, and the Holy Spirit does move, but he will never move in confusion or disorder or improper worship. But of peace, it says, as in all churches of the saints. So there's comfort in the proper order of worship. And as we said, all our comfort comes from God's way, comes from God's example, his order. We follow that to bring comfort one to another. So we see how we can bring comfort. Let us speak briefly on the challenge of comfort. Two things on the challenge of comfort. You know, that which the Lord may have us do to provide comfort is not always easy. Look in Matthew chapter 18. Matthew chapter 18 and verse 21. And bear with me here. I'm going to read through the end of the chapter, but I believe it lays out very clearly here, and I just want to read these words. 18 and verse 21 of the book of Matthew. Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me, and I forgive him? Till seven times? Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king, which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him, which owed him 10,000 talents. But for as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife, and children, and all that he had in payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of the servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me that thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And he would not, but went out and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry and came and told unto the Lord all that was done. Then his Lord, after he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desirest me. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. There's a comfort in forgiveness. You know, Peter thought he was being generous. He's like, should I forgive seven times? The Lord said seven times 70. You know. Then he goes on in that parable about the unmerciful servant. And, you know, we, as probably everyone here, we've all been on both sides of forgiveness. We've all been forgiven. We've all given forgiveness. But forgiveness brings a peace. It brings a comfort between the two people or the two parties, or there's a reconciliation. Of course, as children of God, we've you know, all experienced the ultimate forgiveness of our sins. God forgave. He said, love as he loved. God forgave our sins. He manifested to take away our sins, that forgiving spirit, and continues to make intercession for us. And so, as I thought about this unmerciful servant, can you imagine, he owed so much that they were going to sell his, I mean, they were going to sell his, you know, him, his wife, his children, all that he had to try to make up what he owed. And when he fell down before him, and that master had patience with him, said, I forgive you all, and loosed him and forgave him the debt. Can you imagine the pure, it had to be just a utter rush of comfort come upon him. But then he turned around and did the exact opposite of what the mercy that he had just been shown. And he went to his fellow servant and said, well, you don't have it, I'll throw you into debtor's prison. And when his Lord found out, he was judged, you know. The peace gone. He had peace of forgiveness. And yet he turned around and gave not that same comfort to another. And you know, this passage isn't talking about eternal judgment where it says, you know, so likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye forgive, if ye from your hearts forgive not everyone his brother. It's not a salvation judgment, but God will deal with the believer that holds an unforgiving spirit. You know, it will be a corrective judgment. And we should grieve not the Spirit. You know, that's, we won't turn over there, but Ephesians 4 talks about grieve not the Spirit. We're sealed. We are His. No one can take that from us. But it says be tenderhearted, be kind, be wholly forgiving. There's a comfort in that. We cannot comfort one another if we're grieving the Spirit. Look in Philippians chapter 1. We'll close with this passage. Another challenge of comfort is not just that of forgiveness. But in Philippians 1, in verse 1, Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus which are at Philippi, with the bishops and deacons, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making request with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Paul was imprisoned at the time of this letter, in need of comfort himself, in a situation that he was in, could use comfort. And yet he writes to the saints in Philippi, comforts them, thanks God for them. Yeah.
prays for them with joy, with happiness in his heart for the fellowship. Confident in God and the gospel that, you know, he says, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Confident in the work that God has put in. And what a comfort knowing that eternal salvation. You know, I've debated and with a person down in Florida one time when I lived down there. And at least at the time of that conversation, they never did come around and agree with me. But it was someone I knew from work, and they were attending a funeral for one of their family. And so we just got to talking on various things of, you know, of scripture and, you know, salvation. And I said, well, I said, if they truly believed, at least there's that hope for them that they know, and those of their loved ones know that that one is now in heaven. And that person said to me, he's like, well, you know, unless they lost it. I said, unless, hey, you know, that, you know, you can be saved, but you can lose it. You got to hold your salvation, this person told me, you know. So I hope, you know, I forget what family member it was. I don't remember what, you know, whether it was an aunt, uncle, or who. I don't remember the family member, but I hope they held it. I hope they held that salvation to the end. And I said, well, where's the comfort in that? You know, and so we tried to explain to them the doctrine of eternal salvation. If, you know, God saves to the uttermost. And they never did come around and agree with me at that time. Whether they ever did, I don't know. I haven't, you know, heard from that person in years and years and years. But I'm glad we can say in Paul that I'm confident that the work that God began will be there till the end, till he comes and gets us, until the day of Jesus Christ. But we may be in a situation where we're in need of comfort ourselves, and we have to be a comfort to others. And there's a challenge in that. But Paul, in his need, wrote to the church and was thankful for them and prayed for them. Oh, only God can give you the grace to do that. So we have comfort one to another. And just, you know, we pray that it's been a blessing to your heart on this study. It was to mine. It's, you know, not saying I've mastered it by any means, but we have a responsibility one to another to comfort each other. And we do that through God. May God bless his word.